Father in heaven, we know that we are charged in thy word to preach it in season and out of season, to tell the story, this true story of the Savior and his love, of his wondrous saving grace for sinners, that without money and without price, they may have eternal life, the gift of God. Oh, we pray that thou wilt give us wisdom and power from on high, that we might make the message clear and plain, Christ receiveth sinful men. Oh, breathe upon us by thy Spirit then, and glorify thyself, and man, may man be lost sight of, may only the God-man be seen. Hear us, for Christ's sake, we ask it in his name. Amen. Acts chapter 27, and in verse 25, Paul can say, amidst the peril of this voyage to Rome, he can say to all on board the vessel, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul, he had in his heart an abiding desire to visit the city of Rome. He put it like this in Romans chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. And then he adds, for I long to see you. He had a longing, a deep yearning in his heart to reach this city. But then the promise came to him in Acts chapter 23 and verse 11, and how the promise must have heightened his expectation. For the Lord said to Paul, as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. When we come to Acts chapter 27, we find the apostle being taken on board a ship as a prisoner, the destiny being the city of Rome. The voyage proved to be hazardous. Those in charge of the vessel disregarded Paul's wise counsel not to make the journey in the winter season. He warned if they were to proceed as they planned, it would be at the peril of their lives. But throwing caution to the wind, the vessel was launched out into the deep. It wasn't long until it was being tossed to and fro relentlessly. A fierce storm had arisen, and such was its ferocity, for many days neither sun nor stars appeared. It was a perilous situation. Death and destruction seemed certain. All hope of being rescued, of being saved, had evaporated. It was then, at that moment, Paul got to his feet, and he stood on the heaving deck with the silver spray dashing around him. He raised his voice and he said, sirs, be of good cheer, For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. What a word. A word of hope, of deliverance, of salvation from a watery grave. Our sin has left us in a perishing state. God's word makes it clear in Psalm 1 and verse 6, the way of the ungodly shall perish. We were all ungodly, all sinners. Some here this evening are sinners saved by grace. I wonder, are you an unconverted person, a perishing soul, the billows of the wrath of a sin-hating God, if they were to break around you, you would sink to rise no more. You have no Savior, no hope, no assurance of eternal life. Oh, here's a timely word. May it be the word of salvation to your soul. Notice three things principally in this text. First of all, the announcement. Paul can announce in verse 25, it shall be even as it was told me. It seemed most unlikely that this vessel and all on board would survive. But God had told Paul, had given him the promise that despite the hazardous situation, he would see Rome. As for myself, I am no sea dog. I like calm waters if I'm traveling by ship. I'm glad I wasn't on this particular voyage across the Mediterranean Sea. The terror of the storm, it even shattered the nerves of those seasoned sailors. But happy for them that they have Paul on board. His presence will mean their preservation. The lives of the ungodly are often spared by the presence of the godly in their midst. Remember the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? If there had been 10 righteous in them, they would not have been destroyed. And doesn't the Lord tell us that his people are the salt of the earth? I grew up in an age on a farm when there was no electricity, no refrigeration. But in order to preserve meat from the pig, it was put in an earthen crock. And it was surrounded with salt. Why? The salt was the preservative. And the Lord says his people are the salt of the earth. Spurgeon comments, in the Christian's character, there is a preserving force to keep the rest of society from utter corruption. And in 2020, may we not lose our savor, our saltiness. May we be a sweet savor of Christ to all around us. And what an announcement Paul had for the ears of all sailing with him. It was a solacing announcement. All was black, as black could be. The situation was desperate. All hope of survival, the verse 20 explains, was long gone. What Paul said twice over in verses 22 and 5, be of good cheer. To hearts full of fear and gloom came this solacing announcement. And how is the announcement of the gospel described? Here's how it's put in Isaiah 52 and verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. Oh, the gospel is a message that overflows with good tidings. Here's the best of all announcements to a world that has gone astray, a world in which all have fallen by their iniquity and sin. Such is the good news of the gospel. It brings salvation to perishing souls. You're with us tonight with no confidence for eternity, troubled about your soul. There's peace with God through Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus stood condemned at Calvary. He stood as your substitute. He underwent all of heaven's displeasure. He shed his blood to pay the price of sin, to purchase a full and free redemption and pardon. Oh, I have the best, the greatest of all announcements to make. You need not perish, for Christ has died. It was solacing. The announcement was sure. Paul wasn't in desperation, clutching at straws, searching for something relevant to say at this perilous moment. You will notice those final words in verse 22. He can say, there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. And in verse 24, lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. God has given to him a word in season. And Paul says, it shall be even as it was told me. You see, God's word is sure. It's always sure. While the sailors were throwing overboard all that they could to lighten the vessel in an attempt to preserve it and themselves, while that was happening, Paul was communing, you see, in verse 23, with the Lord. There stood by me this night the angel of God, the Lord Jesus, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. You will reach Rome. He had this sure word from the Lord. And the gospel hope is set out in sure terms. God's word speaks of laying hold on eternal life. We read there in Hebrews chapter 6 and the verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. In the second part of the verse, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What kind of hope is it? Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. The Christian has in the gospel an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure. The gospel message sets before you a sure hope. Maybe you're with us and you hope that somehow it will be well at the last with your soul. All hope, no matter how sincere it may be, that is outside the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is no hope. It is a broken reed. It will fail you. In Job chapter 8 and verse 14, here's what we read. It speaks of the hypocrite, his hope. His hope shall be cut off. His trust shall be a spider's web. I'm sure that you have looked upon the spider's web. It's a wonderful masterpiece. What design, what ingenuity there is in a spider's web. But what a tragedy for anyone in this service tonight to have a hope for eternity that's like a spider's web. The blast of wind destroys it, blows it into pieces. Oh, that tonight you would come and have the gospel hope. Obey the gospel. Heed the glad tidings of good things. Flee to Christ for refuge. And you will have in him a hope. It's like an anchor. It holds steadfast and sure. But then we see not only the announcement in this text. When we see the affirmation, for Paul affirms, I believe God. Now many will speak about their faith in the church, their faith in the minister. Some will even speak about their faith in God. That is to say, they will make a head acknowledgement that there is a God. That's the kind of faith the devils have. We think of James chapter 2 and verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Those demons are in hell. They are not in heaven. A mere mental assent that God is will not save your soul. We can see from Paul's affirmation that saving faith is personal. At this horrendous point, amid the mountainous waves, Paul's faith is in the God who made heaven and earth by his great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for him. He's the God who commands the winds and the waves, and they obey his voice. He's trusting the Lord to undertake to care for him right there in that perilous situation. what unbelieving believers we are at times. When we are afraid, distraught, up against it, we lose sight of the Lord who affirms, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who affirms, I will supply all your need according to my riches in glory. We're so apt to lose sight of him. David said in Psalm 56 in verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's trusting the Lord. Oh, he had a personal saving trust in the Lord. It came about on the Damascus Road when the light, the glorious light of the gospel shone in, and he could say, thereafter I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He had a personal saving faith in the Son of God. Have you? His faith was personal. It was pointed. He says, I believe God. Some trust in themselves. Others trust in a creed, in a sacrament. Contrast what Paul affirms with what the centurion says in this chapter and verse 11. The centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Paul had been sounding the warning not to sail, to stay in the harbor. But the centurion set aside what Paul was saying. He didn't believe a word of it. Who will you believe? Will it be God or man? God said to Eve in the Garden of Eden, thou shalt surely die. The day thou eatest of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. The devil came alongside and said, thou shalt not surely die. She believed the father of lies, the devil. Who will you believe? At the cross, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. We read there in John 3 and verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. All who looked in the wilderness to the brazen serpent, they were healed. Look to the Savior. Trust in him alone for your soul's salvation. Two men were in a boat being carried toward the Niagara Falls. Bystanders threw out a rope, which one of the men laid hold of. The other man, instead of grabbing the rope, he seized a log that was floating by. Fatal mistake. One man was safely pulled to the bank of the river to safety, while the log took the other over the precipice. His trust was misplaced. Paul's faith was pointed. He says, I believe God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we see another thing about his faith. It was placed in the promises of God. The storm was at its height. The darkest hour in the journey has arrived. And Paul affirms, I believe God. He could speak with assurance, for he was standing on God's promise. When Paul was brought to the council in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 23 and verse 11, the Lord stood by him, saying, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And that's the promise that he's standing on now when it seems all is lost. Though this storm is raging and is ever so threatening, Paul is persuaded that God will do as he has said. And remember, believer, that the Lord is not a man that he should lie. Every promise of his word is true and faithful, and we should stand upon them. There are many gospel promises, like John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Like John 3 and verse 15, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Like John 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Then finally in this text, we have the abounding mercy of God. Who was on board along with Paul? Prisoners, guilty of lawlessness, of various crimes. They had broken the law of the land, but moreover, and more importantly, the law of God. There were those responsible for the vessel, and they were guilty, as we have seen, of disregarding Paul's wisdom, his sound advice, his warning not to sail. So all on board were not worthy to receive a message like the one that Paul brought to them. Oh, what mercy was shown to people so undeserving. The number of the passengers we see from verse 37 came to 276. And not one of the 276 was lost. The verse 44 indicates they escaped all safe to land. Oh, how merciful the Lord was in sparing every person's life. Every son and child of Adam's race could have been justly left to perish, condemned already, doomed and damned. But we read in Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 4, God is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Depth of mercy can there be? mercy reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. God keeps mercy for thousands. In light of all that has been accomplished on the cross, God forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Like the publican, may you tonight throw yourself on the mercy of God. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Let that be your cry. Paul obtained mercy. I have obtained mercy. And so may you. By his mercy, you can be saved. It's not by works of righteousness, Titus 3 and verse 5, that we have done, that we have been saved, but according to his mercy. Oh, that tonight you would look away from yourself and look to Christ, the one who is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why will you die in your sin? Why will you perish in your sin? There's life for a look at the crucified one. There's life at this moment for you. Believe the gospel, this sure message. May you tonight leave this preaching house knowing that it's well with your soul. It's your priceless possession. It will never die. It will live on throughout all eternity. Will it be heaven or will it be hell? Choose life. It's found in Christ alone. May you tonight know him whom to know is life eternal. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer, please. We do thank you for coming and being with us. It's such an encouragement to see you. But if there is a spiritual need in your life and you have never been saved, you have not a personal acquaintance with God through Christ, then we urge you to seek the Lord while he may be found. If we can be of help to you, we're here your servant for the Savior's sake. Do make your need known. Speak to the office bearers of the congregation or to myself at the door. We're here your servants for the Savior's sake. Our loving Father, how we thank thee tonight for the glad tidings of good things. We know that the gospel trumpet is a jubilee trumpet. It is one that brings relief, brings release from the chains, the iron chains of our sin. We bless thee, our Father, that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. O Lord, thou didst in thy death bear away our sin and purchase so great salvation for the whosoever will. The whosoever will may come and take the water of life freely. O bring others to taste and see that the Lord is good. We pray that the angels will bear the tidings upward to the courts of heaven, that they will sing in holy rapture or another soul forgiven. Lord, bless thy word and meet the spiritual need of hearts. Help us who are thine to stand upon the promises, to not cast away our confidence, but to look to the one who first looked to us in all our need. Separate us in thy fear, and with thy blessing, we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.